It changes a lot of things for the Patent and Trademark Office. You mentioned one of them, that is moving to a first-to-file system with a grace period. But we also were provided with fee-setting authority, 15% surcharge, the ability to undertake Track 1, which allows for the expedited prosecution of up to 10,000 applications for an additional fee, so we can actually get a very important patents out the door more quickly. It allows for a better quality patent because it gives us the ability to have pre-grant submissions. People can put references into the Patent and Trademark Office when they learn of a competitor's invention, and they can actually say that we don't think that that should get a patent. It allows for post-grant review. It allows for inter-party review. It gets rid of a best mode, a requirement that sets forth, while leaving it in effect. It actually allows for not invalidating the patent based upon it. It takes care of a big problem with QTAM and false marking suits. It definitely limits inequitable conduct claims. It expands prior user rights and expands prior art. So those are some of the things it does, and I think that's one of the biggest changes to patent law, at least in my memory.
Well, I was going to ask, it sounds like so much is being done here. How much was this a long time in coming?
Oh, yeah. This bill has probably been in works for 5 to 6 years, been brought up and voted on in the House once. I mean, it's been definitely discussed by all of the people interested in the patent system over the past 5 years, as soon as the earlier patent legislation had passed.
And what are you doing to make sure that the entire Patent and Trademark Office staff understands how their jobs will change and how they have to look at things differently?
Well, we're undertaking extensive training of the patent examiners here in the Patent Office to inform them about the new rules and regulations and laws. As a matter of fact, the minute the president's pen left the paper signing the bill, I sent an email to my deputy to actually send out notifications to the examiners of the immediate changes that were occurring as of the date of signing, which was September 19th.
Because of these changes, does it appear that you'll be needing more people to come on, or would you be trimming your staff?
Let me say I would have needed more people to come on anyway, because we had a backlog that at one time was quite high. We've taken it down to about 675,000 patent applications that are unexamined in the office, for a total of about 1.2 million in process. But I think that there are many issues and provisions in the bill that require additional examinations. As I said, the Track 1, which are 10,000 applications, and a lot of the post-grant issues and inter-parties issues are going to mandate the hiring of experienced ALJ judges at the Board of Appeals to be able to handle these. So there was a need anyway to increase the hirings, and we're thinking of, in the patent area, probably 1,500 to 2,000 this fiscal year coming up, which is a big addition. We currently have about 7,500 employees in patents. I understand the board is looking for an additional 100 judges. So we're talking about significant numbers here.
Now, how does the funding change? Because you can set your own fees. There are surcharges available for fast-tracking patents. Does that increase the revenues to the department, and do you have discretion over how those monies are spent, or is there still a little bit of a congressional thumb there?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's very, very complicated. First, they did give a surcharge ability, which is a 15% on top of most of the fees that the Patent Office changes. And they did that because it's going to probably take us 18 months to actually undertake the rule setting authority to get the new fee schedule in place. So they codified the fees, they gave us a 15% surcharge, and now we begin undertaking a new fee setting. And we are required to, in aggregate, actually basically charge what it costs to undertake the examination of the patent. But in each little step, we can move the charges to encourage and discourage behaviors that we think are good. And that's going to take a lot of time. We'll do this in consultation with the PPAC, which is our board that overlooks at what we're doing, with the Department of Commerce, with OMB and the Hill, so that everybody has input until how this fee setting authority is done. Now, there is a revolving account that's supposed to be set up as of October 1, we should immediately have access to the 15% surcharge and to the Track 1 filings, those 10,000 applications, on September 26 when they become effective without further appropriations. But in order to actually use the funds that we collect in any fiscal year, we will have to have that money appropriated to us. So while it's sitting in a fund, a revolving account, it isn't appropriated to us in excess of the 15% surcharge on the Track 1 until Congress acts.
Robert Stoll is the commissioner for patents. So 18 months looks like it'll be how long it'll take to get this up and running and at full steam ahead. Is this then a transition period that you're entering into now that you and your colleagues are going to have to work around for this transition?
Oh, yeah. This is a big transition period because if you'll take a look at the bill, and I would actually ask any of your listeners who are very interested in the patent laws to really review it, there are different provisions that are implemented at different time periods. For example, 7 or 8 provisions became effective on the 19th of September. 2 more, the surcharge and the Track 1, become effective on the 26th of September. More become effective in November, and then a year later, and then 18 months later, which actually helps because it staggers my rulemaking so that I am able to actually undertake better rulemaking because I can actually focus in on the different sections at the different times. And let me also add that we are very, very interested in how the user community thinks we should be actually implementing these changes because we want to do it in a manner that everybody, or at least the most, are happy. And in order to do this, we have a button on our website that you can actually go to, which has a copy of the bill in it, but it asks for your comments on the implementation of different provisions. And we are putting those comments up on the web, and we are reviewing those comments before we go forward with a federal rule to change anything so that we can get as close to where we eventually end up being prior to going out with a federal rule.
I wanted to ask you about patent trolls, because that's been a problem plaguing businesses for some time now. Companies that collect patents but don't do anything with them, they just wait to pounce on another company that they feel does do something with them. Will that issue get resolved under the new law?
Well, I think that, first of all, our law provides for, and I'm a non-practicing entity is a term I'd rather use than a patent troll, but it provides for non-practicing entity in that inventors who are independent can come up and decide that they want to actually sell their rights to someone else because they can't develop them themselves. So it's a good way for getting inventions out there. That being said, there have been a lot of litigation involved that people are laying in wait in order to just come up to a developed industry and extract their pound of flesh. So there's a balance there that needs to be established. I think the bill helps with that in a large measure in that it takes care of issues like inequitable conduct and reduces them. It allows for the patentee in a supplemental examination or supplemental examination to actually improve the patent so that they can make sure that any errors with respect to the patent, including those dealing with disclosure and patentable subject matter beyond publication and patent, are fixed. And that way you're getting a more solid patent out there. Plus, we've got publication now, which makes competitors aware of patents that are going to be coming out that may have an effect on what they are doing. So I think the bill helps with that. I think that there are positive uses for non-practicing entity, and I think we need to make sure that the actual process doesn't get so abusive that patentees or practitioners, large corporations, are hounded unnecessarily. So it's a balancing, as everything else seems to be.
Overall, sounds like patent and trademark offices jazzed about this.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think we got a real chance to spur on innovation, create more jobs in the United States. We know all these patents applications that we're sitting on are there are some companies that are going to be based on some of these patents. There are going to be jobs created in this country based upon the patents that issue from the patent office. And I think the job we do here is extremely important to spur on innovation and create jobs in the United States.